Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for peace in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fight.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. I almost said podcast, guys. With me, as always, are some of my very, very best friends since I was a very little kid. Let's start off with my shorty doing a 40. Mike, how you doing? Why are you drinking a 40?
I am celebrating the fact that Mark Russell may be joining us in Pensacon with the champagne of beers, Miller High Life. And by the way, this 40 was only $2 at the local Safeway, so it was quite the steal.
That's what we used to drink when we were kids, so I understand that completely. And it's going to be a little late to when this airs, but happy Veterans Day there, Mike.
Happy Veterans Day to you too, Tom. I appreciate your service.
I appreciate yours.
I did it for the college money.
I did it because I had nothing better to do. LT, you hardly ever have anything better to do. How are you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing just okay. I'm drinking a little bit of Johnny Walker's Blender Batch number 10.
Blender
Batch. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing terrific on this Veterans Day. I went out. We're going to have a cold snap coming here in Boston. I gave out about 40, maybe 50 pairs of socks today, trying to get our homeless people ready for that cold because it's going to be, like, ridiculous tomorrow, like 1 degree with a wind chill factor or something crazy. So bundle up. And we're not even getting the worst of it here in Massachusetts. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking? That's a very pretty color purple can you got there.
I am pouring myself a Haze Double IPA from Treehouse, and I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there.
Doing okay. That's what I like
to hear. I have to say, Mike, the High Life is probably my favorite of the retro beers. Maybe PBR, but I will drink the High Life occasionally.
Yeah, I was trying to decide because I went with the High Life because it was in a bottle, but I could have got a gigantic Pabst Blue Ribbon can if I had so desired. Which I might drink next week.
There is something about those giant cans in your hand. They have that cool retro feel.
Yeah. You know what I miss? Buckets of rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling rocks.
When you used to get like 6 rolling rocks in a bucket for like $4.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was terrific. Once again, that's that cool retro feel. We used to get that at, Josh, what was that bar? Bogart's.
Bogart's, yeah, my college town.
That is a throwback going way back, talking about those
and
retro
Mike,
buys.
We used to get that at that bar across the street from you in Houston.
Yes. We're just trying to prevent Tom from doing his segue.
Yeah.
It's all right. I just wanted to say we have that retro field, that throwback field. Speaking of that retro field, that throwback field, today we're going to be talking about the Green Hornet. And you can't go back too much further than January 31st, 1936. Picture it. Created by George W. Trendy and Fran Stryker, a radio show about a crime-fighting superhero who's pretending to be a supervillain to get information to the cops about other villains. It's a very cool concept. Green Hornet, a crime-fighting superhero. He's been on the radio or in comic books or in some kind of media since the 1930s. Character first appeared in serialized dramas in a wide variety of media. Film serials started in the 1940s. The television show, which co-starred, of course, Bruce Lee as Kato, didn't start until the 1960s. And he's been in multiple comic books ever since. Recently picked up by Dynamite Entertainment, which is doing a really good job of it, by the way. I think I like some of those Dynamites as much or more than I like some of the originals. But we should tell you a little bit about the character. the Green Hornet. Hold on a second, guys. Sorry, someone else is going to have to take over here because my dog is being doggy. So does someone want to give the backstory of, Lamont Cranston, whatever his real name is?
Britt Reed.
Thanks. So, Mike, why don't you take over where the – Mike, do you mind taking over and talking about Britt Reed while I play with my dog for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
So Britt Reed is a wealthy radio owner and newspaper, right?
Newspaper, yeah.
Yeah. And
Sentinel.
He decides that he wants to fight crime. The best way he knows how is to have his – I don't want to use the phrase manservant, but...
Valet?
Guy Friday.
Limo driver, whatever you want to call him. Cato is his right-hand man. Depending on what version you're watching, either Britt is all just show and Cato does all the work, or Britt is mostly show and Cato does most of the work. No matter what version you're talking about, he decides that the best way to fight crime is to disguise himself as an organized crime figure. That way he can beat up all the competition and then turn them over to the police without it looking like he's actually a hero. It's a great premise for a story, and in the comic books, you can go back to the first few ones back in the 1940s. They didn't last very long, and they kept on having to change the name. It wasn't very popular, especially not compared to the TV – or excuse me, not to the radio show. The comic books really don't take off until the 1980s, early 90s, when Now Comics picks it up and starts running with it. Those are the ones that I'd recommend to you. There were two series. I'd go with Volume 2 from Now Comics. It lasted about 40 or 50 issues, and that focuses in on the history of the Green Hornet. It becomes a legacy, and they keep the whole history of, you know, all the stuff that you heard on the radio show back in the 1930s and all the movie serials in the 1940s actually happened. And it keeps on – the mantle keeps on getting passed from generation to generation to generation, not just Britt Reed's family, but it's also Cato's family that carries on through the tradition of being the right-hand man for the Green Hornet. And if only they could make a modern movie that actually didn't suck, that would be great.
Well, let me disagree with you slightly, and I know that everyone's going to boo me down on this one. I love the stupid modern movie. I think it kind of captured a kind of an odd feeling. I mean, Cato was Cato. It was – I just like this movie. I've seen this movie like 5 times trying to find out why everyone doesn't like it as much as I do. I like this movie.
I thought that movie was fine, Tom. I liked the car.
Thanks. It was a great car. Everyone kind of poo-pooed the Cato vision where he like stopped. But I thought that was kind of a cool effect. I wouldn't go with it with everyone, but, you know, I liked it. And I
was it a comedy really or an action movie?
It was an action comedy. We've seen action comedies before.
It wasn't funny.
I laughed at a few things.
It tried to be an action comedy.
The fight between Britt and Cato in the apartment was hilarious. Mm. And when when Cato gives Britt the gun for the first time, and he accidentally shoots Cato. I thought that was pretty funny. I had some fun times with it. He's like, nobody knows it's us, so shh. Cameron Diaz was delightful. And the whole movie was good.
Yeah, so going back to the Dynamite comics, those are the latest Dynamite comics that Tom was talking about are really good. If you are a fan of the whole throwback TV shows, you can read the Batman 66 Green Hornet crossover that Dynamite just put out.
Speaking of the Dynamite comics, I really liked the Green Hornet Volume 1, The Bully Pulpit by Mark Waid and Ronlin Sinfrere and Daniel Indro. That was a really great classic type story of the Green Hornet and Cato, where they tried to take down a mob boss named The Voice. And Cato and Britt Reed actually have a falling out, and they actually kind of go their separate ways in part of it, and then they kind of regroup later on. But it was a really well-told story by Mark Waid, and Mark Waid actually really loved the character Green Hornet, and it kind of showed in the writing of it.
The Green Hornet's been part of Dynamite Comics' Masks series, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's been part of Dynamite for a while.
So there's a whole bunch of crossovers with him and the Shadow and Doc Samson.
Yeah, the Shadow, the Spider, Zorro, all of the classic characters.
And I really like some of those crossovers. The Spider, the Man, the Manhunter. That was a terrific one, and I enjoyed them getting together. The Shadow was another fun one. I think Mandrake the Magician even makes an appearance in a few of them. So Dynamite's doing some really cool, fun things with those old characters.
One of the cool things about the Green Hornet is it traces its roots back to the Lone Ranger, which because in the Now comics, they even talk about his history and how the legacy that the Lone Ranger inspired Britt Reed to become the Green Hornet. But because they didn't have the rights to the Lone Ranger, they couldn't actually say his name, and they had to give him kind of the full mask instead of the Lone Ranger mask that we were used to from the television show and stuff. But I thought that was kind of neat. And I know
Was he like the masked sheriff? What did they call him?
They just didn't name him.
The unnamed cowboy guy. Yeah. And you know, I'm a big Bass Reeves fan who inspired the Lone Ranger. Really excited about the Bass Reeves movie. And the Lone Ranger and Green Hornet and the Spider, these guys all really were the impetus for a lot of the modern superheroes and a lot of the archetypes that we all like so much. So let's talk about a couple of the storylines that we particularly like. I think we already mentioned a couple. LT already said yours. Mike, do you have a favorite one?
Yeah, like I said, I'd go with the Now Comics, the second volume. If you're looking in the bargain bin, which is where you can find them, they're the ones that cost $1.95.
Well, I got $1.95. I'm doing okay. Josh, you have a favorite Green Hornet Kato one? I know you have a least favorite.
I mean, yeah, no, I definitely wasn't a fan of the movie. I haven't really read a lot of it.
Don't blame yourself. You have eyes and ears. That's the only reason you didn't weren't a fan.
Your sin is having sensory.
So I haven't really listened to or watched, but I did find a decent site that has a lot of the 30s broadcasts from it. And honestly, I think I've downloaded a bunch of the Chandu the Magicians, and I just want to give those a listen to. But I did grab some of the Green Hornets, and they have a lot of this, the sort of the action adventures from the time. So all in the 30s, the radio broadcasts with Dick Tracy and Doc Savage and Dracula, the Lone Ranger, Sherlock Holmes, the Shadow, Tarzan, Chandu, and Death Valley Days. So I've downloaded a mix of those, and I'll try to check them out. But I don't really have a favorite when it comes to the Green Hornet.
I'm sorry, I forgot one of my favorite series, and that is the Green Hornet 66 Meets the Spirit by friend of the podcast Fred Van Lente. That is also one of the Dynamite comics. It's actually very entertaining. If you like Fred Van Lente, there's a lot of humor laced into that series as well.
I haven't read that one, but I do like the Spirit a lot. Does it? How did we feel about the Spirit movie, by the way?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. But coming out with a Spirit movie?
Are you guys just uploading that from your memories entirely? Because it's worth it for Scarlett Johansson.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right. It wasn't good. I didn't like it. I don't have anything.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You're not talking about the Green Hornet movie, are you?
I'm talking about the Spirit movie. Which I had high hopes for, because Scarlett Johansson, once again.
Sponsored by Spirit Airlines. It cost you an extra $38 if you wanted to bring your person to the theater that day.
Damn you, Spirit. Damn you.
$10 seating fee.
So my
$5
favorite,
if you wore glasses.
$25 reseating fee.
Don't get up to pee more than once. Oh, you ain't getting off this plane. We accept you. We accept you. One of us. And wear the vest. My favorite, actually, I really enjoyed the TV show crossover with Batman, where Bruce Lee and you know, Brent Hume and Batman, they all met in the TV show. That was a lot of fun for a couple of different reasons. My favorite part of that was Mike, are you laughing because of My Life in Tights?
No, I'm laughing because you called him Brit Hume, who's a journalist, instead of Britt Reed. But that's okay, because they're both journalists. It's fine.
I like Brit Hume better.
He is an action hero.
Oh, my God. Guys, have you ever seen Brit Hume and Britt Reeves in the same room?
Never.
At the same time?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Boom. My mind has just been blown by me. Now, what was the name of the guy that played Robin?
Brit Hume.
Burt Ward.
Like Gary Ward?
Thank you very much. In his book, My Life in Tights, he mentions that he and Bruce Lee got into a slight altercation, and he was very sure that he could have easily beaten up Bruce Lee. I call shenanigans. I call shenanigans on your brute. I don't want to call you out. You seem like a fine fella. But I don't think you could have beaten up Bruce Lee, my friend. Just because you had 20 pounds on him. That was part of your argument. And you took boxing as a kid at the YMCA. And you wrestled a lot with our good friend Batman.
Yeah.
Hey, that was part of his regimen. He wrestled. They wrestled to stay in shape. Read the book. The book is pretty crazy. So that's one of my big problems with that. Besides that, though, it's a fun little episode. Batman and the Green Hornet kind of come to an agreement at the end as to whether or not they should meet again. And I thought that was a fun episode. I enjoyed it. Did you guys see that one?
Yeah, but it was a crossover.
Yeah.
So I've never seen the actual Green Hornet episode that coincides with the Batman crossover. I've only seen the Batman show.
I've seen them on on a DVD that I saw a while back. I don't think I still have it, but it was just a continuation. And they did it like the Batman, not like the Green Hornet one. I would have thought that maybe they would transfer over to that Green Hornet style, but they didn't. They kept the pow and the bam and the boom and everything. And it was just a continuation, like a part two.
So one of the things I don't like about the Green Hornet is I've never been a fan of when the sidekick has to keep bailing out. Like when the sidekick is more competent than the hero. It's not a thing for me. I don't really like that.
Fuck you. Big Trouble in Little China was an amazing movie. Fight me on that.
Who was the competent one in that?
Burt Reynolds? What were you about to say?
I can't remember the guy's name.
I don't think anybody was competent in that whole movie.
What, are you insane? First of all, Egg Fu, the magician, who had a seven-demon bag, was incredibly competent
as a support character.
The guy that was getting married that was trying to rescue his bride, I can't remember his name.
No, he wasn't competent. He couldn't even cut a beer bottle in half with a machete.
That's because his yin and his yang were crossed because he was getting married, you son of a bitch, and you know that.
Yeah, and the whole time his freaking yin and his yang were crossed, and he couldn't do jack shit for the whole movie.
Not after he drank from the bottle of Seven Wonders.
That doesn't count. Everybody was cool after they drank from the bottle of Seven Wonders. I would have been a hero after drinking from the bottle of Seven Wonders, Tom.
Yeah, that's probably true. It's a hell of a bottle.
I'm sorry. Were you going to say something else, Mike?
In the comic books, he wasn't always dependent on – he was more dependent on that gun than anything else. That sleep gas gun was his sidekick more than anything else.
I get that, but still.
Wang Chi. Sorry, that's Jack Burton's best friend, Wang Chi. I had to look it up.
And you know what old Jack Burton says when you ask him if he's paid his dues, don't you?
The check's in the mail.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, the check is in the mail. Yeah. Oh, did you guys see what they just got for Two-Face?
What's that?
On a side note. Fun Alex fact, they just announced who might be playing Two-Face in the next Batman movie.
All right, tell us.
All right, we're going to be Two-Face.
I accept that. I accept him as Two-Face.
I'm going to flip a coin. I hope it goes up in your favor. I really do.
That's right.
No, sir, didn't do it.
No matter how many coins I flip, I get older, they stay the same.
Same age. Hey, Batman, you got a sidekick? Be cooler if you did.
That's not him. I just like saying that.
So, Green Hornet.
Sorry, we got off on a tangent there. Yeah. We're going to come back to that in a couple of minutes. Any last words on the Green Hornet, my friends?
Nifty gadgets.
Absolutely. Nice car. The Black Beauty. Tommy, you want to tell us a little bit about the Black Beauty?
Black Beauty is a gorgeous car. They have it in the Peterson Museum in L.A. in the vault.
It really is one of the cooler cars of all time. Maybe even cooler than some of the original Batmobiles. Not all the Batmobiles. No. Some of those are really, really cool.
It's not as cool as the original Barris Batmobile.
The Barris Batmobile is pretty freaking awesome.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
All right, so I guess we're going to go on to the front of the long box. Mike, my good friend. What do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have The Undiscovered Country by Scott Snyder and Charles Soule. It's a new Image book that has come out. In it, it's set in the future, and 30 years ago, the United States walled itself off from all other countries. Not only a literal wall, but a figurative wall made of air that blocked any transmissions from going in or out. And in that time, two major alliances have formed, the Euro-African Alliance and then the Pan-Asian Alliance. And those groups are controlling the entire world, but the world is dying because of global warming. There is a disease that is rifling through both the major packs, countries. And in order to save everyone, they estimate that everyone will be die of this plague within 6 months to a year. And they get a message from Uncle Sam. Well, his name's Sam. He's not actually Uncle Sam, but he looks a hell of a lot like Uncle Sam. Who's a scientist in America and says, hey, if you come to the United States, we will negotiate a treaty with you to give you the cure. And that is the beginning and the whole plot set up for Undiscovered Country, where six people fly into the U.S. and then shit goes horribly wrong once they get into U.S. airspace. And if you are a fan of dystopian futures, this is going to be a great one for you. If you're thinking Undiscovered Country, this is like from Hamlet, where he's talking about death being the final undiscovered country and our fear of it. Yeah, it's pretty darn close to it. These people may already be dead and not know it. I don't know what kind of twists and turns the series is going to take, but I recommend it if you like dystopian futures.
And who doesn't like a nice dystopian future? After all, we voted for one. Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box?
The back of the long box, I've got Green Hornet Year One by Matt Wagner and Aaron Campbell.
Oh, good one, Tommy.
But it's put out by Dynamite. This goes through a reimagining of the Green Hornet and Kato origin story. It has Britt Reed going forth and traveling across the world to sort of see the world before he takes over for his dad at the newspaper. And that's how he and Kato come to meet and form an alliance. And it was a pretty good storyline, and it kind of has a story of their first year together fighting crime, and also has interspersed in it them getting together and meeting in China, and Britt Reed saving Kato initially, which is what kind of bonds them together. It was a good story.
All right, I like the way that sounds, and Dynamite can do no wrong in my eyes, so I might actually have to...
Matt Wagner wrote it. I mean, he's a really good writer.
Is that what format did you read that on? Did you get the hardcover? What do you got there?
I wrote it. I read it digitally on Comixology. It's on Unlimited, so you can read it on Unlimited.
That's actually what I was looking for there. I was trying to see if I got the cheap way out.
You got the cheap way out, Tommy. You should read it. It's good.
I will read that. Now, earlier we were talking about tangents, and that's, of course, Josh's purview. Josh, you got a tangent for us this week?
Yeah, so this week in particular, I'm being inundated with a lot of relaunches, new seasons of stuff I want to watch. There's so much out, so much just coming at me right now between The Watchmen, Rick and Morty, She-Ra, His Dark Materials. There's so much just sort of like splashing off the screen for me right now. What are people watching? What are you guys digging on right now for TV?
I am ripping through Letterkenny right now.
Damn you, Mike.
Oh,
damn your eyes.
Is so good.
It looks like nothing, and then you get into it and like, who am I going to fight next? Here, my hobo bill.
Better.
Josh, so good. Josh, did you have a soft birthday? Did you have a soft birthday?
I have already started rewatching the first season. I have crushed all 8 seasons, and I'm starting over, Mike.
I am nowhere near there, but
somewhere like around season 6 right now.
So goddamn good.
Yeah, my wife has come out while I'm watching it going, I don't understand what you're watching. I'm like, I don't know either, but I like it.
The other night, my wife was sleeping while I was watching it in bed, and the Anita Dick and the Dicks episode came up, and I was just like, I just started laughing so hard that I woke her up. And she's just like, what?
And then you screamed out, I need a dick. And she's like, finally, thank God, out in the open, we can talk about it. Elephant in the room.
Yeah.
So I've been binge watching. Well, not really binging, but whenever Jen and I have time, we've been trying to catch up on season 2 of the Titans.
I am about halfway through season 2 of the Titans. And I have to say, I love the storyline, but God damn it, could they find people who could actually act? Hmm. Like, it's a good show, but they are terrible.
I believe on our Boys episode, you predicted that season 2 of the Titans was going to be the best TV show comic book adaptation of all time. And I know this because I remember saying you're wrong.
Yeah, I really like the storylines they're taking, and I like the Connor Kent stuff. But man, the acting is bad, unfortunately. But the storyline's great.
I don't mind the acting. The problem I have is the volume control. Like, they're either whispering to each other or there's an action scene that's just blowing my eardrums out because it just – there's no moderation whatsoever.
That's fair.
What about you, Tom?
Well, I'm the only big wrestling fan left in the building, so I'm going to talk a little bit about AEW Wrestling, founded by Cody Rhodes and started this year as an alternative to the big one in WWE. AEW Wrestling is part of the Song and Dance Generation, and they are getting so many things right. They're having a great time. They're having a lot of fun. They're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall, and some of it's sticking and some of it's not. They brought over a lot of guys from Japan that we've never seen before, including Yoshida, Nakamura. They're putting dream matches together that we never thought we'd see, like Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan because these new storylines and everything that's going on is just a lot of fun to watch. Enjoying the hell out of the Song and Dance era. If you haven't seen an Orange Cassidy match, the sloth of wrestling, then you really should give yourself a chance to watch this. His whole gimmick is he doesn't want to waste any energy. He wrestles most of a match with his hands in his pocket. If you put him in a sleeper hold, he takes a nap.
Well, I have to say, Tom, they haven't pulled us out of the woodwork. They can't be doing their research that good.
That's right. They should bring back Chaotic World, for God's sakes. Yeah. I saw a terrific also wrestling when I was in London. I went to a London wrestling show, which was called the She Won Wrestling Riot, the Riot Girls. I have some videos to post. Rhea O'Reilly was terrific, and as was the Princess Diana of women's wrestling, Shayna Baszler. Hilarious all the way through. A lot of good stuff going on there. Never a better time to be a wrestling fan than right now, I think. And that's kind of what I'm binging and watching right now.
Well, it's too bad you weren't down here 2 days ago. New Japan put on a show here in San Jose.
I know. I really wanted to that was – I got it on I think Prime Wrestling has it, and I'll buy that pay-per-view. And also, the Wildcat Wrestling is becoming insanely popular, and they might get a deal with a major network soon. They're in talks anyways.
Really? Wildcat Wrestling out of Louisiana?
Wildcat Wrestling out of Louisiana. There's rumors abounding that the Flamingo drop might go worldwide.
Danny Flamingo is my favorite wrestler.
He is. And the Beach Patrol, the Pump Patrol, I love those guys, and they work so hard, and they do a great show. There's a lot of good wrestlers down there in Wildcat Wrestling.
Is that the guy that told that kid he was adopted?
Yes. That's right. We watched a kid. He goes, "Nobody likes you, and you're adopted." And the kid turned to his mother. This is that right out of show. I'm standing right in front of Mike. The
kid like turned, front row.
Yeah. The kid turns to his mom and goes, "Is that true?" I'm like, "I'm sorry you had to hear it like this." And I was just kidding. But his mom goes, "God damn it." Yes.
And then he looked at the rest of his family and he
That's right.
for like confirmation.
Yeah,
and they all looked different from him.
He had bright orange hair. He was a fucking ginger among brown hair. Like, everyone had brown hair, and he was this flaming ginger kid, and he didn't know he was adopted, and Danny Flamingo brought it out, and he just started bawling, and he didn't stop for, like, four matches. It was awesome.
Tom dehydrated. He was laughing and crying at the same time.
I was laughing and crying so hard, I had to get a Gatorade and later on a blood transfusion. I think I literally died that night.
Literally? Really?
Literally? Yeah. That's the word we're going to use?
Died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't wearing his sleep apnea mask. So, yeah, he did die several times during the night.
Yeah.
He did.
That's fair.
Well, thank you for that tangent, Josh. That
You're
was a terrific
welcome.
One. I enjoyed it. My tangent is going to – my segment – what?
You can't have a tangent.
I don't have a tangent. I'm saying your tangent kind of brings me over to my 3-18 segment. 3-18, and there's been a bunch of rumors about it, talking about retro TV shows. On a scale of 3-18, how much do you want to see a reboot of Greatest American Hero? Because 18. You're 18. Solid 18 from Josh. Tommy?
16.
Mikey?
If Alan Tudyk stars in it, I'm going to go with an 18. Otherwise, I'm going to go with a 15.
All right, Alan Tudyk stars in it. We're all going 18, but it's going to be a female lead this time. And
Alan Tudyk could pull it off.
Oh, no, Alan Tudyk should be the FBI agent.
I'd watch that too.
So I have one thing I need from the show for it to stay at the 18. I don't care if the main character is male, female, whichever of the broad spectrum of genders there are out there.
If you want to go in the middle, we want to go they, them, that's fine.
They need the same goddamn haircut he had in the original.
Oh my God.
It's gotta be.
All right.
It's gotta be the blonde fro, and that is the only acceptable haircut for the Greatest American Hero.
All right, let me ask
I'm going to go one better. The costume includes the blonde fro, which they have to wear regardless. And so, like, the main character could be female with, like, long flowing locks with this ridiculous blonde fro on top, because otherwise the costume doesn't work.
It's also acceptable.
Mikey, that is amazing. Yeah. All right. What female actress could pull that off? Attractiveness wise, anybody?
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with I'm not gonna remember her name.
The new girl. What's her face from the new girl? Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
Because she's a fucking chameleon, anyways.
Yeah. She'd be,
Zooey Deschanel. I would accept that answer.
She would be awkwardly brilliant in that one. What's her name from Saturday Night Live might be good, too. Cecily Strong. She's always funny.
I was thinking of the – why can't I think of the Suicide Squad? And she is Harlequin, the new Harlequin.
Yeah, what's her name?
Robbie?
Yeah. Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
Robbie.
You say Robbie, Robbie. I say Robbie. That's just masturbating her.
That's right. We'll meet in the middle.
You say Skywalker.
Back to back, baby.
Back to back. We're not monsters.
Yeah.
Oh, also, The Mandalorian starts tomorrow on Disney Plus. If you've not signed up for Disney Plus, you, sir, are wrong.
I just canceled 4 subscriptions today to justify.
Did you cancel CBS All Access?
I did not.
Good, because we haven't gone over and binged the new Picard show yet, so hold off on that.
I can't cable this weekend, and I'm going Fios and all streaming services. I have cut the cord this week.
Well, I haven't had the cord for years.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
I might as well, but we've rediscovered cable. We're making it ourselves. I have Hulu, Netflix, CBS All Access, and now Disney. I'm just making my own cable network.
It's true.
Yeah.
All true.
So let's not blind ourselves to that they've tricked us into making a new cable.
But it does save me $125 a month.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot for cable.
Yeah.
That's why I got rid of cable originally.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to plugs. And the big plug we want to talk about is Pensacon. Pensacon is still a ways away, but by God, we're already getting excited about it. We've been talking to Steve Wise, who's awesome, always so generous with his time to talk to us. We just got Mark Russell in touch with another guy, the guy handling panels from last week's episode. And what are you guys looking forward to most about going back to Pensacon?
Going back to Pensacon.
Oh, yeah, it's just so welcome, so warm, so much fun.
Yeah.
That Airbnb we always stay at is great. The food is always great. Tommy, what do you love?
McGuire's, seeing our fans, doing the panels, seeing Tony Isabella, who is a national treasure.
Goddamn treasure.
Buying art from that guy who does all the robots. His last name's Wade. Can't think of his first name right now.
I'm hoping that Josh's cousin and her best friend come down.
Josh.
All right. I'm putting the good word in. We got plenty of time, Mike. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do the right thing.
Did she marry her boyfriend?
No, but they are living together, her and John.
We like John.
A good guy.
Yeah.
We kind of forced them into marriage last year, but now they're slowly listening to us.
Yeah, they're in.
Oh, we got to get him to propose at Pensacon.
Oh.
Let's work on it, guys.
I'll get out on that.
All right, let's get on to that. We're also doing a couple of group cosplays this year. We're doing all the characters from the Dungeons & Dragons television show. I'm going to be the thief, Sheila the Thief. Mikey, who you got to get in? I forget.
I'm Tiamat, baby.
You're Tiamat? Josh, you're the...
I'm either wizard or barbarian. I haven't decided yet.
You haven't decided yet. I know you're the paladin, correct there, Tommy?
Cavalier.
The cavalier.
Cavalier, sorry. The cavalier.
Diane is obviously going to be the ranger.
He never rode a horse. Why was he a cavalier?
Because he had a shield.
A shield.
Because of his attitude. Yeah. His attitude, my friend.
That's the only thing I can make, Josh, is a shield. That's the only fucking thing I can make is a shield.
He is good at making shields. All right, what else we got to plug there, Mikey?
Well, I would like to thank the folks over at Reno Pop Culture Con. We had a great con event over there. I appreciate all the people who came out on a Friday morning to come see me ramble on about horrible stereotypes. And we had a very good back-and-forth discussion with the crowd, so that was excellent. I'd also like to thank Kirby Crackle, who provides our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com. And then, of course, our fellow podcasters, Cheryl Jones over at the Movies Made Me podcast, which people talk about the five movies that have affected them and changed their lives in different ways. And, of course, Seth Meyers and the boys over at whosnextgaming.com with all of their multitude of podcasts. If you haven't checked out their Movies So Bad They're Good podcast yet, really recommend you try that.
Do they have the Green Hornet up there yet?
No, because it's movies so bad they're good.
Oh, it didn't make its way around. Yeah, I understand.
You got right up to the top, but it did not come back around that way. No.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
I don't remember.
Damn it, Tosh. I'd like to thank GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Hello, Tammy.
They just came up with some new clings from their stained glass. Oh, I know, right? Famous taverns of science fiction and fantasy. They have the Plastic Pony. They have the I have to have them all. I have to have them all. You sons of bitches.
I can't wait for them to do the Winchester, because we could just go in there and wait till this all blows over.
That's right. God damn it.
They could actually have a trilogy, because they could do The End of the World, too.
Damn it. I was about to say The End of the World.
Yeah, well, what about Quark's Bar?
Damn it. Everything.
Restaurant at the End of the Universe.
Yeah, I need it all. They need to do them all, and I'm going to own them all, and it's going to be awful. In a wonderful, best way. I love
my favorite, the one that I have to have, I need a Callahan Saloon.
That too.
Callahan's Cross Time. Come on, guys. Spider Robinson, one of my favorites of all time. And good on you for doing that. That's a great thought. That's a great one. Can't wait to see it.
Can't wait to see them all.
Josh, all of them can.
I'd like to thank Friendly Neighborhood Comics. Hey, guys. Where the fuck are you? So they moved out of their space
to
a temporary space, and now they're looking for their permanent space. You guys we need some information here. I don't know where you're going to land, and I can't find you in that little spot you're in. So figure your shit out. Come back around and make sure that place is clean.
Right. I also want to thank Battlegrounds in Abington, Massachusetts. Yeah, Battlegrounds, because they sucked me back into Warhammer 40K, you sons of bitches. Just when I thought I was out, they dragged me back in. But that was a great place. And the best thing about getting back into Warhammer, your drug dealer is so nice.
Oh, yeah.
I would also like to thank Mick Foley. I saw him at the San Jose Improv last night. Super nice dude. If you get a chance to go see his Have a Day tour, it's the 20th anniversary of Have a Nice Day, his autobiography that came out. Well worth the money to go see him.
Can't believe you didn't buy him, Mr. Sacco. I know it was cash only and you forgot to bring it, but still.
But he did sign my high school yearbook.
Huh.
Okay. Which is awesome.
Yeah, I want 20, 30 years from now, my grandchildren to be like, oh, Grandpa Manning's dead. But holy shit, look at all the awesome people he went to high school with.
High school with.
Who else you got in there, Mikey?
Oh, I don't have a lot of signatures. I wasn't very popular. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for bringing that up. Perhaps later you should kick me in the crotch.
Start bringing them to all the cons, you idiot.
I will. That way I'm going to start getting all my co-stars from Con Man. To sign my yearbook.
High school yearbook? That is awesome.
That is a great one. Josh, you have a great thing that you bring to cons. You want to share that with us?
Yeah, I have my original Star Wars role-playing book, and that's what I have all my Star Wars signatures in. And I'm up to about 20, 25 characters in there. I never got some of the big guys because I was scheduled for But I just never made it. It's never made it. It's very depressing.
And then have another great one. You also have your original Marvel one.
Yeah, and I have my Marvel action series where I have artists sketch next to the characters they like. So I got some fun con books.
I myself have a great one. I think is a great sketchbook. I have a different artist drawing superheroes teaching me something that I need to learn in my real life. I have Black Canary teaching me yoga, Batgirl teaching me how to box, Ray teaching me how to sword fight, just different characters from different artists teaching me different things. And explaining that to different artists what I want is insane. So much fun.
It is a great sketchbook.
Thanks. Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
Awesome. Tommy. Sweet, sweet Tommy, whom I love.
This may not be the podcast you desire, but it's definitely the podcast you deserve.
God, that voice. That voice is gold, liquid gold. Josh, what do you got to say for yourself? We're going to be at Pensacon, Florida. God damn it, I know McGuire's got to be your sector.
All of Pensacola that weekend is my sector, especially the craft beer places.
Oh, yeah. So many good craft beers. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You'll live longer and you'll be happier. So long from the Long Box, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to be in that pitch meeting where he's like, all right, I got a comedy about a Nazi youth whose mother's hiding a Jewish kid.
All right, but you got to have like an imaginary friend you can maybe talk with when he has problems.
Sure, how about I play Hitler?
Wait, you're going to play Hitler as his imaginary friend?
Yes.
I love it. Tell me a little bit about the hero's journey.
Yeah, he starts off being really pro-Nazi. and then realizes maybe he's wrong.
Oh, okay. It goes from here to like here. It goes from here to like
here. From here.
From here.
Here.
I'm not hearing anything bad about this movie so far. You're greenlit, my friend.